lowriders? Like, what was it about them that captivated your attention?
I think it's just that each one is different. Is because everybody has their own style. Everybody likes, you know, a certain type of car, certain years, you know, certain makes.
So it's like very customizable.
Yes.
You get to see what people are like.
Is it already on?
No, we're going, bro. going.
All right, I'm sorry.
This is not formal.
Okay, this is already.
This is just like a conversation. Like we just met up and like, hey, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Okay.
But is it because of the customization of, like you get to see what every, like in those movies, Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Well, not the last ones, but like the third one. Did you ever see Tokyo Drift?
No, I probably did, but I don't really. It's been a while.
Well, like you know how everybody had their own persona or whatever, and it kind of like matched the car.
Yeah.
So kind of like that.
Yeah. To go with that, it's like I was saying. There's cars that go from the 30s.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a certain type of individual that likes that car.
Yeah.
You know, usually they're the older guys. You know, the guys that have been around for a while. You got the cars from the 40s. A lot of late 50s are really popular. 57 Chevy, you know, classic. 58 Impala, the 60s Impalas. You know, you got it. Like me, I like the 80s, what they call the G-Body. It's a General Motors. You got an Oldsmobile Cutlass, Buick Regal, Chevy Monte Carlo, the Pontiac Grand Prix. It's a two-door, the last generation of rear wheel drive cars. And that's my style. Mm-hmm. That's what I like.
Nice. Can you tell me how RGV Lowriders got started? Like, what's the history behind this page? Or how would you title it?
I've thought about it too, and I can't really put a name to it. I don't know if I should call it a brand. It was
it's definitely a brand.
Yeah, but the way it started was back in probably the early 2000s, about 2003, I had started going back to car shows here locally. And at the time, there was no Facebook, there was no Instagram, there was no social media. Yeah. You know, there was internet, but it wasn't too popular. I guess it was, but I started going to car shows around that time, and I would Google, or I don't even think Google was. I would use Yahoo, and I'd search like Rio Grande Valley car shows.
Yeah,
and there was really nothing.
Uh-huh.
So there was another website that was really popular, like worldwide, is called layitlow.com.
Layitlow.com.
Layitlow.com, and it was a forum, and there was members from literally all over the world, and it had sections for you know, post your rides. Upcoming shows and events, you know, all types of information, working on cars, paint, body, audio, everything. So when I was going to the shows, it was hard for me to find them because there was no internet, the way you would find out was flyers. Put flyers
and
like
word of mouth, no?
Yeah, word of mouth, sometimes even commercials on the radio. So after about a year or two of going to the shows, I started, like I said, I was searching Rio Grande Valley car shows, and yeah, there was nothing. But there was some other websites that popped up. There was RGV Euros, RGV Domestics, RGV Trucks. And I'm like, you know what, there's nothing for lowriders. And I grew up, I mean, I can tell you stories from back in the mid-80s when I was a kid and my first experience with a lowrider. But...
Talk about it. That's what this is for.
Let me finish about that. Because I don't want to kind of... So
you were on Yahoo, like, trying to find
so
something.
When I found all those websites, I was like, hey, there's nothing for lowriders. Like, what if I can create something kind of like to maybe not copy, but kind of like go along with like what Lay It Low was, but for the Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was, I was going to car shows already. I see the same people, I'm seeing the same cars, and I'm like, I see these guys, these cars, but I don't know them. I don't know what they drive, stuff like that. So little by little, at the job I had at the time, I kind of made my own hours. So when I would leave the office, I would go to the library in McAllen, the old one on Main Street.
The one that was a Walmart, right?
No, that's the new one.
Oh, okay.
So there was an old one on Main, close to the art district.
On Main Street?
Yes.
The incubator. It's an incubator now.
Yes. Yeah. So I would go there. I'd spend about an hour just trying. And what I did was I would go to those websites I found, the Euros, domestic, sports cars, trucks, and I would message the administrator of the guy that kind of handled the website. I said, I'm like, hey, how did you do this? Like, how did you make the pages and that? And they directed me to a book. It was called proboards.com, and it was a host of host for forums.
Yeah.
So they had all everything to make the forum. It was already on their page. So you just, of course, name it. You can choose the fonts, colors of the fonts, links, all that. So little by little, I started working on it. And then October 31st on Christmas.
Halloween,
I'm sorry. On Halloween, 2006 is when it launched. Oh. So I was like, you know what? Let me see what happens. I didn't look ahead.
RGB Lowriders.
RGB Lowriders. It started out as a website, as a forum.
But what did you have in there? Like, what was like?
I made.
Like, what did it have on top? And then what did it say? Or like, what was the
URL, I guess? Or it was called, since it was free, of course, Pro Boards was hosting it, so they want their name on there. So it was rgblowriders.proboards51.com. So when I launched it, I'm like, you know, and I made the same, kind of the same categories. Welcome, you know, tell us about yourself, post your ride, upcoming shows and events, cars for sale, looking for parts, you know, different sections. So once I had it running, I went to layitlow.com, which was super popular, and I knew there was people from the Valley that were on the website. So I started making topics, just saying, hey, you know, a new forum for RGV lowriders. And it was just like, you know, it's just like a common phrase, just RGV, right? Everybody uses RGV in, you know, businesses or whatever. So I said, you know what, I'll just name it RGV Lowriders. And that's how it started. And then, so sure enough, later that same day, because you can, as the administrator, you can see everything. This guy logged in, this guy logged out, this guy posted, this member. So I started seeing that there was members on the website already, like registered members.
So it's kind of like a Facebook group, kind of like that, no?
Something like that.
Because I don't know if you made a Facebook group where you can add members.
Yes.
Every time they post something, it tells you,
it gives you a little, like a log of what's going on the website. So little by little, I started, the website started getting members, registered members, this and that. So over time, there was quite a few members. It's pretty much the majority of the guys that are into lowriders from the Valley were on the website. So since there's guys from different clubs, some from Brownsville, some from Rio Grande City, you know, in the whole area, everybody had like, you know, ideas, shows. Like, I mean, at the time, I wouldn't know what was going on in Brownsville because there was no social media.
Yeah.
So a guy from Brownsville can post, hey, you know, there's a show at, you know, so-and-so this day, this day, and to post the flyer. So that's how that started. And then, like I said, it kept growing.
It blew up.
It was growing. It was pretty cool. And about three years, let me see, I was 06. In 2012, which was when Facebook got big, worldwide.
Exploded.
Yeah, so a lot of the members started going to Facebook, I guess because it was new. It's, oh, I want to do this. And I never had Facebook. Mm-hmm. At the time, I think Facebook started in like 06. It was only for that college.
Like the college students, yeah.
And then it went to the Ivy League schools in the area, and then it finally went worldwide. So in 2012, there was a guy on the website who helped me. I actually gave him the administrator powers, which means because he kind of knew like, hey, like this guy's posting this dumb stuff, like just delete it, you know? Because we didn't want to give RGB Lowriders a bad name. It was something that we were, you know, it was something for the whole Valley, and we didn't want to give it a bad name. So actually, I got ahead, but in around 2 years, after the website was launched, I gave him the power. So he, you know, after that, we started meeting each other every year, or, you know, we'd see each other every now and then. So, you know, and I knew he had kind of like the same mentality as I did. Like, hey, like, don't make RGB lawyers look bad. Like, you know, it's not about, you know, some guys would start arguing, you know, they make topics and all, you know, you know, just childish stuff. Mm-hmm. And we would have to kind of like, hey, like, just stop delete fighting. The, yeah, delete that topic, delete the whole, you know, the post, whatever. Could just keep it clean. And we just wanted it to pretty much spread the word. And I always say to unite the RGB, the whole, the lowrider community in the Valley, pretty much. That's right. That's what it was for. And in 2012, that guy that was an administrator on the website, he's like, hey, everyone's going to Facebook. And I'm like, what's
Facebook? Like, or what?
Yeah. He's like, everybody's going to Facebook. And I'm like, I don't have Facebook and I don't care for it, you know? And he asked me, hey, do you mind if I make a Facebook page for RGB lowriders? And like, he, since I had already known him for the, you know, 6 years before that, I said, yeah, just, you know, but, you know, just keep it clean. Don't give it a bad name, you know. And he started the page. And the Facebook page started blowing. It got big. Even it's well, so I don't want
to. Do people ever like recognize you? Like, hey, that's the guy from RGB Lowrider.
Yeah. It's funny because every now and then somebody will be like, hey, you're that guy. And I'm like, I'm thinking like, in my mind, you know, I'm like, who's this, you know? But it has happened to where people will come up to me. Actually, there's about 2-3 months ago, I was driving my car, my lowrider.
What type of lowrider do you have?
I have a 1985 Buick Regal.
Oh.
So I was driving it. Usually on my days off, I'll take a ride in Edinburgh where I live. And I went to a Stripe store and I pulled in and I see the only reason I saw it was because the kid was staring at my car, right? And so I go and I park up at the very front and the kid, I heard him tell his mom, Mom, look at that lowrider. I want
a car like that.
Yeah. So the kid was about 10 or 11 maybe. And I heard him say, Mom, I like that lowrider. I want one. And he was in a baseball suit. I guess he had just gotten out of practice or something. His mom, like, you know. So I went inside the store. And then I can't remember what I was getting. But when I was going to pay, I saw the kid behind me. And he just kept staring at me, right? Like, cool. You know? And I left. All right. So like 2 weeks later, a few weeks later, I'm at Walmart. I'm in the water aisle looking at, you know, I don't know, something in the water aisle. And this kid comes right next to me. He's kind of like looking at me. And it was a little awkward because I don't know why the kid's like that close to me, who he is.
And he was like, Daddy? No. Is that you?
No. And then, so I'm like trying to figure out like maybe is he lost or why is he right next to me? Well, there's a cart coming and there's an older woman pushing the car. He's like, hey, grandma, whatever. So I'm like, oh, okay, you know, yeah, he left. But then he came to my other side and he's looking at me again. And I'm like, I have no idea who this kid is. And then he says, are you the guy with the lowrider?
Oh.
And I'm like, it kind of caught me by surprise because I was like,
as a matter of fact,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, like who are, he's like, hey, I saw you at the store.
Oh, damn.
I don't know how he remembered my face, but
it's because he liked the car.
Maybe, I don't know. And I said, oh, are you the one in the baseball suit? He's like, yeah, that was me with my mom. And I'm like, oh, and I thought it was just the coolest thing because you don't expect it. You know, you never know who's watching you. And that's why. That's one of the reasons it's like, hey, keep RGB lowriders clean. I don't want, you know, hey, I'm not, you know, into anything, you know. So I talked to him for a little bit, like, oh, you know, did you like my car? Yeah, I want one later on, this and that. And so his mom finally gets there and they're down the aisle. So I said, ma'am, I don't know if you remember me, but I was at the, she's like, yeah, I remember you, this and that. And I said, hey, do you mind if I take a picture with your son? And I actually took a picture with the kid, and I'm kind of just like, and then I posted it on my story.
Yeah.
On RGB Lowrider's Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And everybody thought it was just cool. It was nice, like, dude, yeah, like that's pretty being awesome, an example, you know, for the next generation, man.
Right. Well, speaking of unexpected,
yeah.
What did you think of like this space, Backdoor Modern Vintage?
This is a cool place. A lot of stuff, like a lot of stuff, colorful. I actually like to go to garage sales and thrift stores myself, but I don't find stuff
garage
like
garage sales. Yeah, right. Like you don't go like a regular job like I do. It's hard work.
I know it is.
And then bargaining with those ladies, they, oh, I want $10, and it's like, what? It's only $1 for them,
yeah,
for a tie.
A tie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
that's like what, negotiating that's what, during garage sales or what?
I'm not a real big negotiator, but
I always negotiate, but then I always pay over for the trouble because I feel guilty. So either way, I win.
See, if it's too much, then it's to me, it's like, okay, thank you. And then usually they might say like, hey, well, how much do you want to give me? You know, so and then it's like, oh, you know, I can give you so much. I'm not like I'm an introvert, man. I'm shy.
Yes, you know that.
I don't know if you
for
can
two
tell.
2 hours, we're yeah, trying to dress you, and you wouldn't let me style you. But that's yeah, okay. One day you will.
Yeah, it's just that's just.
You bring your lowrider.
I should have, but
you it's have a just, lowrider vehicle.
Yeah.
Well, we could have done a photo shoot.
Yeah,
we got the models right here.
Look, whenever I could probably
next
Wednesday. Bring your lowrider.
Bring your lowrider next Wednesday.
I don't
Wednesday,
know if I think I work though.
Shoot. Okay, the next Wednesday.
Oh, next.
I'll style you.
No,
and we'll get some girls. Yes.
You can get some girls, but you're not going to stop.
I can make you look like Lou Diamond Phillips in 5 minutes.
Lou Diamond no, Phillips. La Bamba.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know.
Heartthrob.
But you
like
know.
Like you would be getting a lot of play.
No.
Like no, you would be looking up in the world because you got to dress the part. So if you're like this powerful person, you got to show everybody.
But do you like to dress up like when you go out to shows? Like, do you like
no,
dress up?
You dress
or
like that.
This is who this is.
But like, I mean, like you don't have like hoodies that have like
I
RGB
do have,
low riders.
I do have.
So you wear a hoodie everywhere.
No, I don't wear a hoodie.
And a backpack.
No.
What do we think when we see a hoodie and a backpack?
He's comfortable?
No, a lot of people do.
That's
feel comfortable
just, that's
that.
Just
like me, I wear golf clothes every day.
Golf clothes?
Yeah, I work like if I just got off playing golf, but.
Yeah, she's a really good golf player.
Really?
But like, because I like enjoy it. So, like, you have to feel comfortable with what you wear, and you can still be. I see you match your tennis and your hoodie with the orange.
I actually had an orange watch, but it was in my garage and I didn't go get it. But I was orange.
Nice.
I'll find something. I can do it.
I think next Wednesday I can actually.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, next Wednesday come.
And I promise you, we're gonna take the best picture and you can put it in a frame and you can see your car with some models and. When you get older, you can go look. I was Magnum PI.
Well, let me ask you right quick. You said that you want to keep the page clean. What do you mean by that? The
just,
RGB lowriders clean.
By clean, I just mean not giving it a bad name as a, like I don't want.
But what do you mean?
I don't want it to be associated with gangs. I don't care where you're from, what color, you know, it's like, that's not what the lowrider community is about. I think that's a big misconception.
It
that
is
people
a misconception
yeah,
because most of the people who can afford a lowrider
are not gang.
They
members.
Got money in the bank. They're not yeah, hustling. They got the money.
They're not
they're
gang
retired.
Members. Exactly.
This is what they love. That reminds them of their nostalgia, of their childhood, yeah, of their families, of the barrio, the valley.
He's trying to inspire the youth.
Yeah, but okay. I agree with him about the Lowrider magazine rap. You know, because
yeah, a lot of people.
Even the name itself is it says low. And then writer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's connotative, and it's derogatory towards Latinos.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's why you have to do fundraisers, and you have to get
exactly,
into the charity, and you have to start raising money and wear awareness for young kids to keep them in school.
That back in the '60s and when car clubs first became popular, the objective of car clubs, lowrider car clubs, was actually to do community fundraisers. It wasn't to...
It's what you can do for the community exactly. That makes you make a long-lasting impression.
Yeah.
For the youth, when you talk about the children, the number one, I always say this and I'm going to say it again, the number one resource is not oil or gas or water. It's the minds of our children.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, we have to remember that's what we have to leave us in the future.
Yeah, that's like I was saying, that's what the car clubs in the 70s first started doing. It was more of about, you know what? Yes, we're a lowrider car club, but we form to help the community, whether it be like fundraisers, just the events, you know, to put on for the community to kind of like show appreciation for them. Like, you know, a lot of car clubs here in the Valley have like an annual show.
Yeah.
You know, lowriders are invited to a 4th of July parade.
It's a big business. And it's an expensive hobby because you have to find parts.
Oh, yeah.
That are like, it's like treasures. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I got to go to Ohio or I got to call Memphis.
Like my cousin, he would like travel to like Arkansas.
To get parts.
Or Minnesota or wherever.
His cousin has a really nice car. I mean,
my cousin does lowrider for a living, he fixes them and everything.
Yeah, he has his paint.
We need to have a show here, Back to Modern Vintage, on the site right here.
It's very possible.
Yeah. My cousin got a junk
car. I want to go in one that goes up and down like that.
Mine doesn't have that.
Hydraulics?
Hydraulics. Because I did have the kit, brand new kit, two pumps, everything. But I'm like, the car's not my priority because I've got my family, everything. So I kind of just left.
Hobby.
Yeah, I kind of just left it there. Left it there. I ended up selling the hydraulic kit, and now my car's boring. I guess you could say.
Hey, call my cousin.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys here that have asked.
We have a fundraiser lowrider show for young kids, and we can dress them up, make a backdrop, and take pictures. And what we can just make a backdrop, and then have all the cars come one by one, and they can take picture with their family.
What my cousin used to do with his brothers is every Christmas they would like get toys. And they would, like, park all their lowriders in, like, a parking garage, like, at an HEB or something. And they would, like, do, like, a little show while kids would come and get their toy and take pictures. They would get a Santa Claus and do all that type of stuff.
Yeah, there's a guy here. I just know him as Juan. They call him Chilango.
Hay muchos Juan.
They call him Chilango, but he's had so many cars. And around Christmas time, he puts together a toy drive. So I think I can't remember, maybe a few months before Christmas, he'll start asking people to donate toys, you know. So I think it's right before Christmas.
Between November and between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, they'll get together closer to Christmas. He'll put out the date, the place they're going to meet. So you got a bunch of lowriders and they'll go into the, you know, little communities, you know, outside of the city and spend hours giving away toys. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think should be more publicized, you know, because it's something for the community. It's not like I say, you know, it's not about gangs. It's not about any of that stuff. You can have guys from different cities, different neighborhoods. You have a lowrider and you see a guy on a lowrider, like there's that connection, like hey, that's a nice, like cool, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, I've gone to the, you know, when I use my car, I'll go to a store, I'll go anywhere. And it's like almost, you know, every time that somebody will come up and like, dude, like, can I see your car? Like, yeah, you know, I'll be pumping gas and they're looking inside my car, like, ah, oh, man, you know, and it brings back memories like, man, my dad had one of these or I had one of these back in the 90s, you know. And it's just something cool to see, something cool to hear, man.
So going back, when you were a kid, mm-hmm. Do you remember when you first saw a lowrider?
Yes.
but not in like TV or
no.
Like in person. What was that like?
So that where we used to live, we lived a second house from an intersection. So it was a corner house and it was where we lived. So there's an intersection here.
Yeah.
I remember I was about maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I was in the front yard in the driveway playing with something. And I see a kid coming down the street on a bike, but it wasn't a regular bike. So I'm like,
it's like a lowrider bike.
It caught my eye. I'm like, I'm looking at him coming, and, he, and sure enough, he stops right in front of me. And the whole time, I'm looking at the bike. And the kid, his name was Ronnie. Oh, he, I mean, not a kid anymore, but
imagine but, if he still was.
But Ronnie,
like, what did you find the fountain of youth?
So Ronnie, he stops right in front of me, and I remember looking at everything on the bike, and the first thing I said was, "What's wrong with your bike?" And he's like, "Nothing. It's a lowrider." And that's, I think that was the first time I had ever heard the term lowrider, yeah. And it stuck with me. I'm like, I'm looking at the handlebars. The frame of the bike was different. I believe it was one of those older Schwinn bikes. It had 16-inch wheels with white wall tires, spray painted black, it looked like. And the handlebars were like way out here, right? Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, hey, no, what's wrong with your bike? And then he's like, nah, that's the way they are. You know, they're supposed to be like that, this and that. So that stayed with me, right? I was around 7 or 8 years old. Fast forward to about 11, 12, 13 years old, around there. You know, I'd go to the store with my parents, and, you know, H-E-B, Walmart. Every time they pay, you got the magazine racks right there.
Oh, yeah, you would see the lowriders there.
So they always had Lowrider magazine, and that's when I started picking up the magazine
with
and
the
going
models
through it.
And yeah.
Yeah, so this is probably 1990, maybe. And I'd see, like, every page, and I'd be like, this is, like,
awesome,
cool. Like, I don't know. It was just something you're not used to seeing.
Yeah.
So back in that was around 90, 91. That was even earlier. That was way before RGB Lowrider started. There was back then, that's when I started going to shows, but I would hear about them on the radio on B104. I don't know if you remember B104.
Yeah, before it was 104.
Before it was Wild 104. It was, yeah, B104. They'd have I guess ads or commercial, like, hey, so-and-so car show at the, you know, at the Hano Saloon.
Yeah.
Or before Harley Davidson was there, it was La Villarreal Convention Center.
Right.
And I would tell my dad, Pa, take me. I want to go. No, and that's how it started.
Yeah.
You're talking about probably 91, 92. And my mom used to have a huge camera, off camera, flat, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
She never really used it, but I would always mess with it. And so when I started going to car shows, and I'd say, like, let me, like, and I mean, I didn't know how to use a camera at the time. So she bought me disposable cameras. Like,
nice.
You know,
yeah, I remember.
So that's how it started. That's how I started taking pictures. And I don't know if she still has them, but I had a photo album of pictures from car shows back in the early 90s. And, you know, as time went on, you know, I just kept going to car shows here and there. In 1994, I think, I got into some trouble, not with the law, but, you know, my parents, I did something dumb, and my dad, he whooped my ass, man.
Bare hands, or yeah. Did you get a chunk line?
Bare hand, man. And I think my mom felt bad for me, because at that time I was already buying Lowrider magazines, and there was also a Lowrider bicycle magazine. And I always wanted one, because yeah. I thought, yeah, I just wanted one. It was like, I have to have one, you know? So I think my mom felt bad when my dad spanked me, that about 2 days later, she said, which bike do you want?
Aww.
So I'm like, so at the time, Lowrider Magazine had what they call, well, it was Lowrider Bicycle Magazine also, but Lowrider Magazine had, I guess, a store, their own, you know, they made their own bike parts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went, and that back then you had to, there's no internet, so you had to order, you know, a lot of magazines had the paper,
yeah,
order form. The order form you had to fill out.
Yeah, and I remember.
So I remember I had to do that, and I want the red frame, I want these wheels, these handlebars, this. So, you know, I can't remember how long it took. You had to buy money orders at the time, too. You know, there was no online payment, yeah, none of that stuff. So I got my bike. I thought it was the prettiest thing ever, man. And I actually have a picture of it. Can
you
I show
could
it
send
to you?
It. You could send it, and then we'll show it on the
Okay, I'll send podcast. It to you. So I built my bike not knowing all the parts that went on it. So I was missing parts. So I'm like, yeah. I can't ride it, you know. So I told my dad, let's go to take it to Bicycle World on Nolan and McAllen.
Yeah.
And they, you know, oh, you're missing these bearings and this, and picked it up, and I rode that bike. It's funny because we lived, at that time we had moved towards Freddy Gonzalez and McCall Road.
Oh, okay.
I would ride my bike all the way down Klausner, Main Street in Edinburgh, just up and down on my lowrider. I had, mirrors. I had little beads hanging. I had lights on it. It was just, to me, it was just the coolest thing ever.
How old were you around this
time? I was
time?
Around, when I got my bike, I was around 14 or 15.
And no one ever messed with you like, hey, give me your bike.
No, luckily no.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I know. Back in the 90s, it was kind of bad. Even on Fridays, also when I was in school, we after the football games, we'd walk up and down Klausner. Everybody would be up and down Klausner. There was a Peter Piper there close by, and people would hang out there. And I remember back then, you could see people cruising, and you can hear the hydraulics, and it's just like, it was such a cool thing to see. And then around that time, 10th Street also used to be like the biggest cruising spot. Yeah. I mean,
both. Is it still going on?
No, not on 10th Street. I think they stopped it because I think.
Noise complaint or what?
I went a few times, but I don't know why they stopped it. I'm thinking because. Not to be prejudiced, but when Fast and Furious came out, I think everyone started racing. Mm. And that got the cops to like, hey, start giving citations here. Oh, no parking here, no congregating here. And it kind of killed the scene for a while. Wow. That in the 90s, it was just everywhere. There was a 10th Street. There was a Anzaldúa's Park, Delta Lake Park, even Texas Boulevard here in Weslaco.
Sometimes cars pass by and they're racing each other right here.
Yeah, it's and that kind of kills it, and that's another thing. A lowrider is not going to be racing.
No, it's more for show.
It's more of about there's that slogan or the saying low and slow. It's not about I'm not going to be going fast. This and that. Yeah. That's for hot rods. That's for sports cars.
Yeah.
A lowrider, it's just the coolest thing. On my last car, I did have hydraulics. Uh-huh. My car would go up and down, and then I could move it to the back, all this stuff. And honestly, just 20, going to a park somewhere or hanging out with somebody else that has a lowrider. Like, I had a friend in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Like, hey, are you off today? Like, yeah, man, hey, let's meet up and let's go here. And we would do it. And it was pretty much every light we were at, our cars are start moving, dancing, and it's just the coolest thing. You can see people with their phone and next to you. I don't know. It's just an awesome feeling to have.
Well, you mentioned congregating. Are you trying to like have meetups with RGB Lowrider, or like what type of events or type of things are you promoting in your page nowadays?
So when we started the website in 2006, there was a guy that brought up the idea of having a picnic. Hey, let's have a picnic, because the Lay It Low used to have an annual picnic for members, like I think it was in Utah, so Salt Lake City or somewhere up there.
Oh,
so this guy brought up the idea. This guy was from Brownsville. I think his name was Arturo. He brought up the idea like, hey, why don't we have a picnic for RGB lowriders like they do on Lay It Low? We'll just set a date, a place, and time. And it's like, damn, that sounds like a good idea, right? So sure enough, the guy that I was telling you about earlier that I gave the powers to, he put it together. He went to the city of Weslaco, got the permit for the park, Weslaco City Park, because it's a big area. There's a lot of area there, so...
The one where they play soccer over here?
Yeah, I think there's softball fields.
It's a big park, yeah.
So we, sure enough, hey, August this, from 12 to 5, follow the park rules, no bottles, you can drink, but no bottles, this, because they gave them certain guidelines. Like, hey, you don't follow the guidelines, this ain't happening again.
What do you mean
know?
No bottles?
Beer, beer bottles.
So you have to like hide it or what?
Well, you can drink can, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But not bottle. I don't know why they don't allow bottles, but.
I guess because of glass.
Yeah. So the first year that we had it, it was more, we were on the website already. The website started in October of 2006. In August of 2007, 10 months later, we had the first annual RGB Lowriders picnic. we didn't expect it. At least I didn't expect such a huge turnout. I mean, I think we had about 200 cars there, like lowriders.
Yeah, yeah.
All the car clubs got to, you know, a lot of car clubs were there. You know, everybody has their little spots. Bring your chair. It's a family thing too, you know. And it was our first ones. So we kind of like learned from it, like hey, you know, over the years we added more things, little competitions, tire tossing contest.
Oh wow!
We had a hopping contest, a car hop contest. We had a club tug of war between car clubs, and there was clubs that would sponsor those competitions, and that's how. We'd give out, like, I don't know, like, I think it was like $100, you know, to the club that won the tug of war, you know, $100 for, you know, the car hop, that the one that went the highest. And nice. It was just
fun.
It was fun. It was, I mean, and that's how it started.
So do you do any things like that nowadays?
Well, that was in 2007. That was the first annual RGB Lowriders Picnic. This year, earlier in the year, that guy and I had, we disagreed on some things.
Creative, you know, differences or what?
Yeah, we I don't know what happened. We just started disagreeing on some things. It led to more disagreements, and he kind of went on his own, you know. He started his own little, I guess you could say, brand, movement, whatever. He started his own, and since he had been the one in charge of the picnic, out of his own, like, I never asked it. I said, hey, you need help? I can help you with money. This and no, like, he, after a while, he started finding sponsors.
Oh.
And the clubs would sponsor, I don't know, I think it was $50 to $100. You put their logo on the flyer, you know, and I people like to see that, you know, your club out there. Anyways, so he went on his own, and this year he did the picnic, but not under RGB Lowriders. Uh-huh. It was under his thing.
Oh.
And, you know, nothing against, I even went myself, you know, I, you know, it's not, whatever our differences were.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
No, it's just, you know, we had our differences, but I don't wish, it's not like, I'm not wishing like, hey, you know, follow RGB Lowrider, because we've both been around since the very beginning of RGB Lowriders.
Yeah.
So I don't want anybody to think that. I don't want you to choose sides. Like, hey, we're all the valley. You know, that's how I see it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people thought I was not gonna go. I show up and I'm, you know, everyone's like, hey, Noe, what's up? You know, hey, good to see you again. This and that. You know, because it's such a good event that some people that are working on their cars or building them wait for the picnic to finally debut it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how big of an event it is. I had brought up the idea of having fundraisers, like, hey, you know what, maybe we should have like an actual show to where we give out trophies, compete, you know. He didn't want to do that. I said, hey, what if we do like little meetups? Like, let's host an event to just to hang. No, he didn't want, like, everything I would say, he kind of like, he didn't want to do it. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, like, I mean, I mean, it's something I started, like, you know, my opinion should kind of, hey, like, you know, at least think about it. And he kind of didn't want to. And that's pretty much what led to the split, you know. But either way, I went to support his event, you know. And I'm not saying I'm going to continue it, but it is something I've thought of to have, you know, continue. Because this year was supposed to be the 17th annual RGB Lowriders Picnic. But he changed his name, and now he kind of kept that 17 years there, and everybody's like, well, you know, how, you know, it's your first one, you know. So, but anyways, so I kind of I have thought about maybe continuing it next year sometime. Mm-hmm. But I know it's a lot of planning, and I've never done my own event, but I'm not afraid to try.
Well, I mean, if you need help, we can help.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to try, you know. I like, you know, I'm doing this. This is not something that I'm used to.
And thank you for doing it.
You know, lights and cameras and stuff. So I don't know, maybe next year sometime, you know, in the middle of the year, I might, you know, have or continue the RGB Lowriders Picnic under RGB Lowriders.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
There's a saying here in the Valley, people like to say, por una 56. What does that mean to you?
956? Oh. I don't know. It's just, I think people are proud of the valley. You know, you go up and you go to maybe North Texas, somewhere Dallas, and you kind of, people, I think people don't see how much talent we have down here. And not just cars. It's, you know,
artists.
Yeah, not just cars. Yeah, athletes. You got boxers athletes that are world champions for the Figueroa brothers here in Weslaco. Omar Juarez or Suarez, I can't remember. Suarez or Juarez, he's from Brownsville. He's also a professional boxer.
Stylist.
Stylist, but yeah, I think a lot of people look down on us because, hey, you're from the valley. Like, you know, and even people that move out of the valley to go to the bigger cities, you know, they still have that. Yeah, they still like, oh, you're from the valley. Oh, you're from Brownsville. You're from Midtown, you know. But I think the people in the valley, like, we're proud of, you know, what we have. You know, it's not, I see no reason to be ashamed of it. You know, I always think of that, like, you know, there's so, like, we just said it, there's so much talent here that people haven't discovered us.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's, I can't name them, but there's people that have been, like, on national shows, you know, TV shows.
Raul Castillo, I think that's his name. He's, like, an actor, too, from McAllen. He's come out on a couple shows, too.
Yeah, it's just so much down here, and I mean, we need to be proud of it. I don't know, we're more proud than other people in where they live, but but here in the valley, it's the valley, man. It's the RGV. It's home, you know.
What's the, like, when someone asks you, what is RGV Lowriders all about? Like, obviously, it's cars, and you're promoting the culture, but what would you like for people to know about RGV Lowriders and what it's trying to do?
RGV Lowriders, to me, like, it started out as a website, went to the Facebook. Now the Facebook doesn't exist. It's got a new name, fine. So I have an Instagram that I started back in 2014. I was at a car show in Corpus Christi with my family. And it just came to me like, hey, you know, I had a personal Instagram. And I'm like, why, you know, I told her, why, you know, I'm going to start a Instagram for RGV Lowriders, because I literally have tens of thousands of pictures on that I've taken from car shows. You wouldn't believe how many pictures I have.
I can picture it.
Yeah, on my phone alone I have 4,000. Damn. So yeah, but anyways,
you must have five phones.
Yeah, so, and then I also have a YouTube account for RGV Lowriders. I've had that for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And I'm happy to finally say that this is funny. I told my daughters that I was going to find a way for my YouTube to be monetized. Hey. Right? Yeah. So they're like, no, it can't happen. No, you're not going to, just watch. So it took me 14 years. I think you needed 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours viewed.
Yeah, people have to watch it.
Yeah, so I already had the hours, but I didn't have the subscribers. So I kind of started, you know, posting links of my videos, this and that, here and there. In January of this year, I finally got 1,000. They sent me an email like, hey.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You got, you know, you can be monetized now, this and that. So I'm like, cool. Like I said, I'm not going to make a lot of money, but I wanted to show my daughters it could be done.
There's a kid.
That's the main thing.
There's a kid on YouTube who makes videos. Well, his parents started out making the videos for him, where he, like, plays with toys.
Oh, yeah. That kid and makes, like, 30 minutes. And that kid is...
I was living in California, like, 5 years ago. I was over there for 2 years. And literally, one of the jobs that I went to, he moved into, like, a studio. And it was, like, a high production. Like, he started from YouTube to, like, a big studio. So it could happen for you.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Like, look at Dua Lipa. She became famous from being on YouTube.
He got 1,000 subscribers.
Okay, let me finish telling you. In January, I got 1,000 subscribers.
People paying you?
Well, no, YouTube pays me. But so it took me 14.
Show me how to do it, boss.
It took me 14 years.
Person, I like to make money too.
Let it talk.
Here, look. It took me 14 years to get to 1,000 subscribers. I started posting reels. Reels helps a lot. It took me 14 years.
Do I have to take my thing out private?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I don't got nobody liking my stuff. I got like 4, 5, 12, 1. The most I can get is 6. That's because I'm in private.
You got 14 years to get to 1,000. In 6 months, I got to 2,000.
Wow.
In 3 months, which is September, I got to 3,000.
Wow, congrats.
So you can pay it for every reel?
Reels and videos.
Okay, I'm going to start going to reel right now.
Yeah, it's reels and videos. And the reason I wanted to do that was to show my daughter. Because I said, look, I'm going to show you it can be done. I always encourage them to do stuff that they think, nah, it can't impossible. Be. It's not possible. That was the main reason I wanted. It's not a lot of money, honestly.
Well, not now.
Because I don't upload videos all the time because it's just car shows. And I don't go to car shows every week or every other week. So it's just here and there. But I do have so much video on my phone that I make a lot of reels. Nice. I'll put up about 3 or 4 reels a week.
Also, YouTube Shorts is a popular.
I'm sorry, it's Shorts. Yeah.
Yeah. YouTube Shorts.
So, back to the question, RGB Lowrider is pretty much what I wanted to do was to just unite the valley. That was my main thing. You know, it didn't matter if you're from Brownsville all the way to Roma. And then there's people from like Corpus. About 3 years ago, we had people from Dallas come all the way down to one of our picnics.
Yeah.
So it's a big event.
That's badass.
Yeah, it's well, I couldn't believe that they were down here. Like, you know, and these are like from major car clubs that have been around a long time. But pretty much I wanted it just to unite the lowrider community. You know, it doesn't matter what club you're in, what kind of car you like. You know, we're all in it because we like the culture, the cars. You can go to any car show. I've been going to car shows for more or less about 30 years. I have never
30
from about the early 90s till now.
Damn.
I have never ever seen a fight at a show.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody get stabbed.
Because they're almost most of them are hardworking individuals.
Exactly. You know, it's not like she was saying, it's not cheap, you know. And like even me, I work, you know, when I can overtime. And I told my wife, hey, I'm going to do overtime. I'm going to get maybe about this much more, you know. And my wife, she's gone to some shows with me, but it's not her thing, you know, and I understand it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of people might like a car or lowriders, but they'll never have one. They'll never be involved in the scene or anything, which I understand. But the good thing is she's never kept me from doing what
that's
I like.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's better.
So she's always been to, like, I'd be like, hey, there's a show in Corpus. I kind of want to go. She's like, let's go, you know. Of course, she's not going to go. She's going to go to the, I don't know, I think it's called Ingram Mall or whatever.
Yeah.
We go to San Antonio. She's like, going
go
to
do
the,
your thing. I'll do my thing.
Just in March, we went to San Antonio. Lowrider Magazine had one of their tour stops in San Antonio. Dropped me off at the Freeman Coliseum. And
what if I get some girls, some promo girls, and we do like lowrider promo girls and bring them to every show?
That's
what
happens.
But you have to pay me and my girls.
That's.
But we can sign pictures, make calendars. And we can use that money to donate it for the children's scholastic scholarship.
Oh yeah. If you ever want to do an event, let me know with time.
Well, we would have to plan a month and a half in advance.
I'm
down to do that. I want to do a lowrider one here, like, and I want to because the community needs to outreach to the children that every hobby is a good hobby.
I was telling Carlos earlier that I always wanted to do like events, like meetups.
Let's do it.
I've always
photography.
I kind of messed.
He's a photographer too.
I already got some cowboy boots already ready to go.
French, USA,
American.
Yeah, but if you ever want to do a show, a lot of people also think RGB Lowriders is a club.
Yeah,
it's not my club.
It sounds like a club.
It does, but it's just. I guess the
just
brand.
Just a passion.
Yeah. And, I get messages on Instagram. I do now have a new Facebook. It's just RGB Lowriders. Mm-hmm. YouTube is RGB Lowriders. Instagram is RGB Lowriders. I get messages all the time about people wanting, like, hey, can you bring your club over?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not a club, but what I can do is put the info out there. Send me a flyer. Give me a date, time, place. I'll put it out there. I'll share it as much as I can and see who shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just last week or 2 weeks ago, Weslaco had that event here on Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They like a parade, Heritage Hispanic Heritage Month.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So they send me messages. They send me messages, and I got a few cars out there, you know. But thing is, it was on a Thursday afternoon, you know.
Yeah.
They wanted people there by 5. I'm like, that's kind of hard because yeah. People are still working. And
yeah, they get out at 5.
Yeah, so I was still able to get a few cars out there. We hung out there, had a good time, but yeah, if you're watching this, you want an event with lowriders, send me a message. Give me a time, enough time. Not 2 days from now. It's just give me a few weeks. I'll share it on my Instagram, on my Facebook, and I guarantee you people will show up.
Perfect.
Lowriders.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share that I haven't asked, or anything that's on your mind that you'd like to share with the people watching, listening? Any shout outs to family, friends, daughters, just, like, hey, I did it.
Just my, I guess, you know, of course, my family, my wife. I got 3 kids. I was a 19-year-old father. So my son's actually 25 now. He's a welder, and right now he's in Alabama. My daughter just graduated UTRGV.
Congrats.
Last year. She's teaching English in Seoul, South Korea.
Wow.
She left in February or March. I can't remember. She's in Seoul right now.
So she's teaching Korean or English?
She's teaching English to Korean kids.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
And I'll show you pictures when I'm done.
Yes.
But and then I have my 13-year-old who's the only one at home right now.
Yeah.
But you know, I kind of wanted to get them involved, but like yeah. I understand if it's not their thing, you yeah. know, and I'm not going to force them because then it's not coming
from the heart.
Yeah. God. So just thank you to everybody who watches. If you want, follow me on my social media. Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. It's just RGV Lowriders.
Perfect. Follow me.
I also have I don't want to give my personal Instagram, but yeah.
Of course not. There's too many freaking out there.
But yeah, thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
Yvette.
Yeah, Yvette.
You're welcome. I'm going to sell you next week.
I'm sorry I didn't wear your...
No. You don't need to say that. You don't need to say that. It's okay.
I'm sorry, but thank you.
I'm going to do some therapy later and get a hot tub, whatever. It's okay. I'm good.
All right. Sorry. But thank you for having me.
You are going to let me style you next week. I'm going to tell you.
Why next week?
You're going to bring your lowrider.
You want me to bring my car?
Yeah. Yeah, I want you to park it in front.
All right.
We'll bounce it.
We're going to have
I don't have hydraulics.
No, just turn on the lights.
It's clean, though, but it doesn't.
We'll do a little photo shoot. I'll get some models and we'll do a little shoot. It'll be cute.
All right. Yeah, you could also take pictures.
And you can put it on your, you can do your
YouTube shorts.
YouTube thing, whatever, some content.
I can do that, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming, Noe. I really appreciate you driving all the way over here and sharing your story a little bit. If you ever want to come be a part of the audience or just come and hang out any Wednesday at 7, we're always here. But thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome to stay. We have a live band. It's going to start playing now. And
I'll watch it for a little bit.
Yeah, cool.